This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
All right. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're having a great night. Our question of the night, it's up on our Loveline IG page. Today's question, of course, it's rooted in Valentine's Day because apparently we're obsessed with that and can't get enough. It's about exes. And if an ex asked you to spend time with them on a Valentine's Day, how would you feel about that? Would you do it? And of course, we've got Celebrity Rehab, where we'll be talking about the relational struggles of celebrities so that we ourselves can learn a few good skills ourselves. You know, communication, boundaries. It's nice sometimes we can look at the failures of others and learn how to be better ourselves. But let's get into some news. This first one really, really, really kind of took me a minute. The headline is your iPhone 11 Pro emits twice the amount of radiation for safe use. That's right. I said twice. So an independent laboratory tested the iPhone 11 for radio frequency radiation, which is called RF. And found that the levels were twice as high as federal safety limits and far different from what Apple had reported. Twice the radiation. Okay. Now, the World Health Organization has classified RF, which we said was radiation. What do we say it was? It's radio frequency radiation that comes from the phone, as a carcinogenic to humans. And the National Institute of Health has found clear evidence that it causes cancer. So what's going on? Why the discrepancy? Well, there's a couple reasons. Oh my gosh, this breaks my heart. First off, when the iPhones are tested, the testing is self-regulated, meaning that, and this is what comes up actually in pharmaceutical testing as well. So this is actually really valuable information. But the manufacturer supplies the phone to an independent lab for testing. And if that passes, the FCC can approve the device. But a lot of this testing is done overseas and has very lax regulations. It can just be something that they pay to have passed through. So there's not a lot of value in some of this independent lab testing. But the FCC goes along with these results. And the FCC's actual limits that they've imposed for safe radiation use for cell phones is 20 years old, the study says. And so at this point, it's basically useless and antiquated, their rules. We go deeper and it gets a little more upsetting. So the study is also talking about how when we look at all the safety ratings and how to safely use our phones and the prior studies and levels, they're not an accurate reflection of how we use our phones, because the FCC, in setting forth what they deem to be safety, they're looking at, wait for this one, the test is about what they call 5 millimeter span. So the phone, when tested, is 5 millimeters away from your body. Now, the reason why that's meaningful is because in a standard use of cell phone, it is not 5 millimeters away from your body. It is pressed up against your head or in your pocket, which is 2 millimeters away from your skin. So the limits are set based on a further distance away from your body, whereas the cell phone use is far closer. So that means that the tests done on devices are not significant and they're not applicable. So what do we then do? Because that's where my mind went. Okay, so my phone is giving off twice the amount of problematic and dangerous radiation, and it's far closer than what the studies have used to test for safe distance. So they basically say there's a couple things you can do. First off, hold your cell phone away from your body. Now, that's really hard because most of us have it pushed up against our head. So they say using speakerphone while talking or some kind of hands-free piece like the AirPods is what's going to help, which is that's meaningful. So use your AirPods or keep the cell phone on speakerphone. And also they say, wait for this one, don't carry your cell phone in your pocket. Where are we going to put it? Where else is a cell phone going? They also say that if you're, and this is news to me, if you're in a low service area, meaning you have about one bar of service, they say wait until later to make your phone call because your phone will be using more power in trying to get better reception, which will increase the radiation output. I don't think about these things. Oh my gosh. Like, that scares me. Twice the amount of radiation. Yeah, I know. Ay, ay, ay. Okay. Sony Pictures, Sony Studios, is planning to make Spider-Man bisexual and give him a boyfriend.
Cute.
Cute. I know, right? We need it. It's time. So we're going to see what happens, though. I mean, I don't even know who Spider-Man is anymore, because there's Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, Tom Holland. Like, who's our up next? It's like, are we circling back through? Okay, it doesn't matter. But basically, Tom Holland had said that Marvel superheroes don't have to be straight and white. And he hopes one day they're gay. Andrew Garfield was outspoken as well, saying he hopes that they're bi. And he actually said, and I'm quoting, "I'm excited to get to the point where we don't have to have this conversation, where we can have a pansexual Spider-Man." Well, it might be happening. So I'll be curious to see how that plays out. Will there be like a love scene, a makeout scene? Will it be more like covert, implied bisexuality? We'll see. This story warms my heart because I'm all about age gap relationships. Why? Because I'm often in them. So 80-year-old is breaking silence on her relationship with a 35-year-old. Now, before we even get into the story, it's disheartening that we already see that as suspect, that it's so hard for us to conceive of a relationship that has that much distance between their ages as being real and meaningful, because they can be. And that's what these two are coming out and saying. So Muhammad, that's his name, he's 35, and his 8-year-old girlfriend, her name is Iris. They met on Facebook. I think that's adorable. He lives in Egypt, so she flew in to meet him. They have a 45-year age difference, 45 years. That's longer than I've been on this planet. But I'm looking at the photos. It's adorable. It's truly adorable. They both look very happy. She's excited. Ready for the big raunchy finale. God bless. She was asked on an interview about their first night together. And she says, "First night was pretty rough. Nobody has been with me for 35 years, she said. I was basically a virgin again. She said, "Can I say what we used? An entire tube of KY jelly." That's my girl.
Yeah.
Doing her thing. She said, "I couldn't walk the next day. It felt like I'd been riding a horse. The saddle sore wasn't in it." I don't know what that means. The saddle sore wasn't in it. But nonetheless, God bless. I'm all about it. People took to Facebook. They're upset. They think he's in it for her money. And he's basically saying, that's not what this is about. She's saying, that's not what this is about. More importantly, they're happy. She's glowing. She hadn't had sex in 35 years. God bless her. Anywho. All right, coming up next, we're going to be talking about Valentine's Day and why you should stay off those dating apps on Valentine's Day. Danger, 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 danger. And they'll be talking to Dr. D. Jaffe about addiction. Always an important topic. And phone lines are open, 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. Give us a call. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, question of the night. It's up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight's question is about if an ex asked you out or to spend time on Valentine's Day, what would you do? We'll be breaking that on down later in the show. But first, Channel Q, we got your back for a Pride flyaway. That's right. If you want to escape to sunny South Beach for Miami Beach Pride, April 3rd, 4th, or 5th, go to wearechannelq.com for your chance to win, because we will fly you and a friend to beautiful Miami Beach, set you up in a gorgeous hotel, and provide you with 2 VIP weekend passes. So you'll be sipping on some ice cold drinks from the open bar in the VIP and enjoy a champagne brunch before the parade. So enter the contest right at wearechannelq.com for your chance to win and experience Miami Beach Pride in true VIP style. That's April 3rd through the 5th. All are welcome to the free Oceanside Celebration, and that's presented by Celebrity Cruises. So again, wearechannelq.com for your chance to win. You and a friend. I love stuff like that. Why not? Who doesn't want to go to Miami? Shoot, skip Pride. Just go to Miami and have that champagne brunch. Okay, so Valentine's Day. You're all going to be like, is it over yet? Almost, almost. So for those that are single, we were doing some research for this segment, looking at how apps kind of show up in the world of Valentine's Day. One of the first things that popped out at me was an app called Badoo. Never, ever heard of this. Jeffrey, you're familiar with this? Okay, you were nodding your head. It's one of the biggest dating apps in the world. Never, ever have I heard of this thing. Over 400 million users worldwide. So I don't know how this has fallen through the cracks. I'm not familiar with this one. So basically, in looking at all the different apps' percentages of increase around the holiday time, we already passed a couple Sundays ago what was the most downloaded moment of app use. And that's because of the new year. A lot of people are like, new year, new me, I'm going to get back into dating. So there's a massive increase in app use and downloading. But Valentine's Day has its own numbers. Bumble, which is a very popular app, has a 10% bump in increase. All right, you know, that's nothing too profound. And OkCupid expects up to 10 million new matches around Valentine's Day. Sit with that number. 10 million new matches around Valentine's Day. So many are saying Valentine's Day is a great day to look for love. Others are saying slow down, not so much. It's very hectic. There's a lot of swiping, matching, chatting, ghosting. Prime time to put the phone down, take a little break. Why? Well, there are some people that are driven by loneliness, anxiety about spending it alone, a little desperation. They're on there, but they're not necessarily in it for the long haul or the right reasons. They just want to do something and they're feeling pressure. So they're kind of hopping on, not taking it too seriously. So there are some people that are saying, if you're really looking for love or you're coming out of something that was a little tumultuous and you're feeling a little insecure or anxious or vulnerable, Valentine's Day might not be the time to hop on there. So take a break, focus on spending time with your friends. We were talking in our other show yesterday and the day before about other things one can do if they're going to be single on Valentine's Day. So go to wearechannelq.com and you can listen to old episodes of Loveline, including last night's show and the one before where we talked about awesome ways to spend it if you're single. Also, we've been talking throughout the week about things to do if you are partnered. But, you know, again, with the whole app usage thing, a lot of people have some really interesting and horror stories around having matched up with someone planning on spending Valentine's together. First off, there's just a lot of pressure, right? You match with someone, you do so in terms of wanting to have a Valentine's Day date. Doesn't always go great. There are also some stories of people in a panic overbooking themselves. And I can tell you multiple stories that have come into my practice of people anxiously matching up with people. They're like excited. They're like, oh, I've got a date for Valentine's Day. And then they find out that guess what? They got ghosted because some of these people are anxiously matching and making plans with a lot of people. And then not everyone makes the cut. So maybe put the phone down, spend the day to yourself, do something for yourself. It doesn't necessarily have to be rooted in romance and love. We were talking about that the other night. And spend it with your friends. Right? Like there's a lot of people that are single. Do a singles thing or just spend it with your friends. Doesn't have to be a big deal. Coming up next, though, we're going to be talking to Dr. D. Jaffe about addiction and basically talking about what do we do with our time if you're newly sober because you got a lot of downtime now that you're hitting that bottle. So we talk about what to do with that and also sliding into those DMs. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back, and tonight we're talking with Dr. Adi Jaffe. How's it going? How are you?
I'm pretty good, man. I think I got that cold you had.
No.
Yeah, I'm a couple of weeks late, but everybody else had it, and now I'm down.
Oh, man. Yeah, take care of yourself around that. That's horrible. I'm not sad to see that go. I am sad to hear that you have that. P.S., I was taking a little moment there, and I was like kind of like deep diving in your IG. You have a beautiful, beautiful family.
Oh, thank you so much, man. It is a blessing.
I can feel it. Look at the photos. You all just seem so happy. I know that, you know, we only put out some of the happy photos only, but again, I could feel the energy. So well done.
Thank you so much for saying that.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to talk about tonight is, you know, again, we spoke either it was last time or one of the times before that about Sober January and people kind of taking, you know, sober curiosity, that kind of thing. So we were looking through social media and one of the things we're looking at is yours. And one of the things I thought was really interesting that came up was the whole idea of what do people do with their time? And what meaning do they make out of their time now that they have a sobriety period or they've taken a break from alcohol and they have all this space in their world because they've changed maybe what they do and who they spend time with. And I think you actually tweeted out asking people, like, what are you all now doing with your time? So how do you enter that conversation? Because I know that that comes up with people in recovery is what do I do now?
Absolutely. And I think this is one of those things that people don't necessarily expect when they first jump into recovery. All this free time that they have. I joke always that, yes, definitely one of the things that alcohol or drugs are good at is the idea of numbing pain and, you know, getting you to not have to feel your feelings or at least reduce them greatly. But the other thing they're both good at is just passing time.
Yeah.
When you get isolated, when you feel alone, oftentimes you've got 8-12 hours between right now and when you're going to go to sleep. If you start drinking and you just keep going, those 12 hours just seem shorter. And for people like me or like you, who I think are always looking for a couple of extra hours in the day, it's hard to remember what it might have felt like to relish in that isolation to some extent. But I think that's a really good point that people have to be proactive. This is one of those things that actually sometimes leads to a slip up after recovery is successful, is because people haven't really thought through what they're going to fill their days with.
So do you recommend, so are you saying you advise them kind of at least early on structuring and having things prepared ahead of time and filling up their schedule?
Yep. One of the main things that I talk to people about, the way I talk about it is we need to get a skeleton for your day. There's this concept in psychology called scaffolding. I don't know how many people are really familiar with that term, but the reason people use it in psychology is, you know, when people put up skyscrapers or buildings that are taller than a few stories, they don't actually just go ahead and build the building first. What they do is, you know, they build the first floor and then they put a scaffolding, right? They build a structure around where the building is going to stand, and then they fill in the building in the middle. So the idea of scaffolding is that external support, the ability to have a structure that holds whatever you're going to build inside of it. Sometimes that's really simple. Like with some of my clients, I want to say the hardest things to put in place, but also the most effective, is a morning ritual, a bedtime ritual. And then just one, maybe if they're able to fit it in initially, two things in the middle of the day that mark their day. Like one of my clients right now, we're trying to get him to, at lunchtime, be able to go sit somewhere. He likes to go through the news, right? But he does it at home, isolated. We're trying to get him to go sit somewhere and do that out there with a cup of coffee or something along those lines. Have something to structure your day. Exactly.
Do you think, and let me go back to something you just said. So the struggle to frame our day before bed and early in the morning with structured activities or more mindfulness or consciousness or a ritual.
Yeah.
What do you think the difficulty is in us doing that? Is it about us slowing ourselves down? Is it about sitting with ourselves? Because I find myself sometimes struggling with that as well.
Sure. You know, I don't remember who it is. I think it might be Bruce Lipton, who's a guy I love. He's old school, but he's one of the forefathers of epigenetics. And he talks about the fact that when you first wake up, like the moment you open your eyes and you wake up, that's kind of like your automatic self that's there. What do I mean by that? All the old habits, all the things you've kind of gotten used to doing your whole life, they're the ones that show up first because you haven't caught up yet, right? You're not in a state of mind to say to yourself, okay, I'm going to do what I do every morning. I'm going to go get up and do my run and have my cup of coffee. It's just kind of like this natural part of you. Just like you said, a lot of people struggle with it. This is that voice that says, come on, you can just stay in bed for another half hour. Who's going to care? It's not that big a deal. And so, yes, indeed, that's one of the biggest struggles is to do that. I run this 21-day habit reset challenge, just to help people change habits in their days. And probably 20% of people come in because they have a hard time getting going in the morning and they want a habit.
So what tends to be the entry point habit-wise? Is it about just stillness? Is it writing? Is it sitting?
I'm not, and this is, you know, I'm sure there are different theories of this. I'm not one for looking at what we're going to eliminate. I'm always one for looking at what we're going to insert. And so for instance, one of the things that I think is really important for people to hear right now, and if you're listening to this on your phone, I'm sorry, but stop going right to your phone in the morning. So many of us. I did this. Do you do that?
It's so funny we're talking about this. I think it was like 2 days ago or so. I've heard of this, right? We're all aware of this, but I saw it said in the right way. And I was like, you know what? I'm committing to this because yes, the first thing I would do when my alarm went off is grab the phone and start my day going through it. Yes, that was me.
So here's the way I heard it that spoke to me. And maybe you can speak to that way. It just changed my life. It really, really did. And here's the thing. You go to sleep at night and you're resting. You're not thinking. You're having dreams. You're just kind of recharging. But while you're doing that, especially in today's connected world, the word is operating. Companies are sending you emails. Friends of yours from New York wake up 4 hours before you, send you emails and messages. And essentially what we say when we wake up and we grab our phone and look first is this. I don't care how my day goes today. What I care about is what you want my day to go like. And that applies to everybody, all the companies you get emails from and your friends.
That's right.
You're told that moment you're giving up control, and I'll prove it. All of us have had one of those days where you open up your email and one of those messages you've been waiting for forever finally shows up. You closed on the house. Your girl said she's going to move with you, whatever the thing was. And you have the best morning. You want to jump around. run, do a cold plunge, I don't know, go for a marathon.
Do a cold plunge.
You feel like you have all the energy. Have you ever done one of those things?
No, and I'm not intending to.
Totally different conversation. But that's one of those days. But then there are a lot of other days where you get an email that makes you go, oh, damn it, this is what I have to do today. And what I'm saying is this. The moment you turn on your phone and you start looking, what you're saying is, I'm giving up control of my morning. Right. So I don't care if you start out with 5-minute delays, 15-minute delays. What I've done, and I'll tell you kind of the secret that I've developed over the last 3-4 years for me, is I gradually put more and more things before I look at my phone. So initially, I had this thing, it's called a 5-minute journal.
Oh, yes, I have one of those. I got that. I purchased it.
Love it.
Okay.
So I bought the one, it's like $20 or something like that.
Yeah.
It's a year's worth of this 5-minute journal. And for me, it needed to be simple. So I said, okay, I can commit to writing 3 things I'm grateful for, 3 things I'm looking forward in the day, and a positive affirmation every morning.
Yeah.
And now I have 5 minutes before I went to look at my phone because I had to do something. I did that for months without anything else, but then I added a workout right after that. So now there's probably 30 to 45 minutes where I don't even look at my phone. And I got to tell you, the consistency from day to day for me is so different than it used to be. And the anxiety that I felt before every morning when I wake up is just gone.
You just gave me anxiety because I'm trying to imagine delaying checking in on my phone for the journaling and then a workout. My heart slowed for a minute there and then sped up. And I was like,
I get it. I used to be the same way.
That's very disconnected. Dr. D. Jaffe, where can people find you?
Easiest place is at djaffe.com. I have a book. We actually were number one in Kindle and Amazon in alcoholism last week.
Congrats.
Called The Abstinence Myth, if you want to check that out. And ignited.com, IGNTD.com.
Beautiful. Thanks so much. Have an awesome night and feel better.
Thank you so much.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Coming up next, we're going to be sliding into those DMs. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline.
This is Loveline with Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q. Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms. It's a big old sex world. We want you to explore with confidence. We're going right in. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris, I'm confused about my sexuality. I've only had 2 crushes in my life, and I'm 28. Dating apps are difficult for me. I have a hard time knowing if I find someone attractive or not. Sometimes I'm confused about my attraction for someone even after a few dates. I've mostly felt sexually attracted to people after I've known them for a little while. The elements of a romantic relationship that are most appealing to me are emotional intimacy and physical affection, like cuddling. I like having sex too, but sexual attraction feels more fleeting for me, and it's not what I tend to crave most. I'm wondering if I could be on the asexual spectrum or if I'm demisexual, but I'm just feeling really lost and lonely in this process. I've never spoken out loud about this to anyone, so any insight would be helpful. I love that. Sometimes just speaking out about something can reduce some of the shame and anxiety around it. And I understand what you're trying to do. A lot of people want to find a label or a construct to identify who they are, how they move through the world, because it normalizes, it gives us community, it gives us resources, but it also somehow legitimizes. But I'm always cautious about giving labels because they can also limit us and they can sometimes stop our process or exploration, or they can confine us. So I tell people that use labels as a starting point, but be open to being shown that you are more than that, other than that, that it doesn't necessarily speak to your totality. So maybe you're on the asexual spectrum where sexuality is not sexual arousal is not a guiding power. Maybe you are demisexual, which means relationality in the non-sexual, non-romantic ways are necessary first. You have to build those other pieces before that sparks up. But don't feel the need to necessarily label yourself. Labels, we're never going to be able to completely explain someone's total sexuality with a term. And there's not enough terms to cover all that is. So identify those labels a little bit, but just feel confident in how you are. It's creative and diverse and all's well, but just be more rooted in following your path and sticking to what works for you. Slide the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms. It's a big old sex world, and we want you to explore with confidence. Coming up next, we'll be talking with Jarrett Hill about exes on Valentine's Day. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Yeah.
Smarter than you.
No, what I say is right.
No.
What I think is right.
Yeah, you know what?
I know everything we're talking about.
Coffee talk.
All right, we're back, and of course we're talking with Mr. Jarrett Hill. How's it going, Jarrett?
Hey, boo.
I loved listening to you. Was it last night that you were doing the event? Wow, man, time flies
by. Seems like it was an eternity ago, but yes, that was last night on Channel 2.
It was phenomenal. I was listening to you on the drive home, and I actually sat outside my parking thing to listen because I knew it was going to cut out so I could kind of keep up.
Oh,
that was phenomenal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, truly. I mean, you're an awesome host, but more importantly, there was a lot of insight and things I hadn't considered. And as you were kind of talking about on the show last night, a lot of people are really waiting to the last minute to make a decision about the candidates, and they're kind of just tracking what's coming. And so it was really helpful in me kind of solidifying which direction I'm going to go. So thank you for last night.
Yes, of course. It's an interesting time. Primaries are interesting because they happen in this rolling way. So we kind of have one election and another, and it starts to kind of shape the narrative about a candidate. So it's been interesting to kind of watch how things are going, and definitely in the next couple of weeks to see how they continue to go.
Yeah, and that panel member, Mr. Ryan Mitchell, he should get a radio show. He sounds like he could be on radio.
You know, we're pitching him for radio stuff. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I might have a friend named Shira he could work well with. We'll figure it all out.
Okay.
So tonight's question of the night is about Valentine's Day, which I feel good about and bad about, because I feel like for those that are single or in an unhappy relationship, it can be a really distressing holiday, because for those that are in an unhappy relationship, it's really hard to come to terms with that, like faking a celebration that day or not wanting to and having to acknowledge that. And then those that are single, it can bring up feelings. So nonetheless, though, it's a love line, so we've been talking about it. So our question of the night tonight is, if an ex of yours or your most recent ex asked you to be their Valentine or to do something Valentine's Day, what would you say?
Oh, wow. Okay, so this is a twist I didn't see coming.
That's right.
It's interesting because I thought you were going to ask me, like, what has my history with Valentine's Day been?
I'm curious about that as well.
Well, it's been interesting to me because I've always either been single on Valentine's Day or I was dating someone who was not into Valentine's Day. So I've not really had like a super romantic situation on Valentine's Day with a partner because, like I said, I'm always either single or with someone who doesn't really like the holiday. I'm actually completely open to the idea of the holiday. Like, I get, like, people are like, oh, it's just capitalism or whatever. But, like, I mean, I think it's great to be able to, you know, have a sweet day where you, like, really focus on showing the one that you love something special. But if one of my exes came to me and asked me to do something for Valentine's Day, depending on which one it was, I might say
yes. I love that. So there's yeah. One or two that you would. Okay.
Well, yeah, like I have pretty positive relationships with basically all of my exes. So I'm not like freaked out about the idea of like, of interacting with them or, you know, holding space with them. I would probably say yes to most of them.
All right. So if any of your exes are listening, I'm hoping they would know which one you're maybe referring to. And maybe
you'll get a text.
Maybe you'll get a text like,
oh,
hey,
God.
What are you doing on Friday?
On the radio. I hate you, Chris.
It's such an interesting question because it brings up so much. I just learned a lot about you. I have to say for myself, I would say pretty much no to all of them.
Really?
Yeah, you know, I had the same history with you in that Valentine's Day for me has never been that great. It always fell at a time where my relationship was just not really at its best, or I was single, or I can't really think of a time when it was really able to be truly profound for me. Maybe I'm discounting a few years where it was. I don't know. But this year will be the first year where I'm going to be spending it with someone that it has a lot of meaning and value for. And so I'm kind of excited to see what that can hold.
Ooh, Chris likes somebody.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Can you hear my shoulders? Can you hear my shoulders going back and forth?
No, but now that you're saying it, I can envision it. The people that my exes, I have great relationships with a lot of them, but I wouldn't want to spend it with them. It would just be very odd to me. My answer would be a hard no.
For me, like, being able to spend time with an ex on Valentine's Day doesn't necessarily have like major romantic overtones to it. Like maybe one or two of them could.
Okay.
But I could see that like maybe venturing off somewhere. But like otherwise, like I just wouldn't really feel too much about it. But like I said, I have relatively positive relationships with most of the people that I've dated or spent like significant time with.
But I still like that you said there is one or two that I would be willing to like bump up against a few times on the day.
Oh, absolutely. So like my philosophy on exes is like usually the people that I've dated if they were good enough to spend enough that much time with, like, I would seemingly hope that they were good enough people that I would want to keep them around.
Yeah.
Even though I know that, like, a lot of relationships dissolve and, like, the people hate each other and don't want to speak for a long time, I definitely have exes where we've broken up and did not talk again, you know, for a lengthy period of time. But, like, I don't have any exes that I can't call,
right,
or that I can't really speak to. I just have them in my life in varying degrees. Like, some of them I talk to once a year. Some of them I, you know, hear from periodically. And then some I talk to regularly. So it just kind of varies.
Yeah. I mean, but this is why I try to be very thoughtful. You know, again, like you just demonstrated live, Valentine's Day brings up a lot of interesting thoughts and conversations and possibilities. So I just want everyone to be very caring and loving with themselves around whatever this is going to mean for them. I have a horrible Valentine's Day story that I'll have to tell at some point closer to the day, maybe tomorrow night. But it's brought out the worst in some people. I mean, oh my God.
Yikes.
Yeah,
this sounds like a juicy.
It's a little juicy, but like I said, this year it's going to be a good one. So I'm excited for it. I'll let everyone know next week how it went. But no exes for me for that one.
How does this person feel about you talking about that on the radio?
That's a good question. That's a good question. That's to be determined.
Noted. Okay.
Bless it all. So, Jared Hill, where can people find you?
You can find me right here on Channel Q on periodic specials for the election coverage. And make sure that you can check out my new podcast. It's called Santi, S-A-N-T-I, wherever you get your podcasts. And yeah.
Congrats on that. I just saw that on your socials. I'm stoked to check
you.
It out.
Yes, it's been very successful. We've been very happy with it. So, we have a new episode coming out tomorrow morning.
Beautiful. Have an awesome night.
Thanks, you too.
Coming up next, we're going to be doing a little celebrity rehab and then question of the night. So go on our Loveline IG page and weigh in on that. Listen to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline.
This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on channel Q.
All right, we're back and it's time for some celebrity rehab.
Celebrity rehab with Dr. Chris.
So, of course, we got Loveline's pop culture guru, Nick Moore, with us. What's going on, Nick?
Oh, how are you? It's such a crazy day in news.
Yeah, and before you even get into that, I love watching your photos of you on vacation at the beach.
Oh, my God. I have to admit, those vacation photos were Latergrams.
Well done. Well played.
They were Latergrams because I really don't need to be posting in real time. I'm trying to be present. So I'm actually in Los Angeles right now. I'm not in Cabo.
Okay, I'm going to have to use that. I like that defense. I post Latergrams because I'm trying to be present, y'all. That's amazing.
I'm just keeping it real. Also, like, you know, in the case of stalkers.
Oh, yeah. You don't want them to be able to find you. Yeah, they're weeks behind. Yeah. They're weeks behind in that search.
Exactly. I did that all on my European vacation the other year. It was so good. People were like, oh, my God, you're still in London. I'm like, no, bitch, I'm in Spain.
I love that. You give me so many new ideas. I love this. So lots going on in the news. What do you got for us tonight?
Okay, so I don't know if you have heard that Jessica Simpson wrote basically like a tell-all book.
No.
Have you heard about this?
No.
All right, well, this lady has really just laid it out on the table, everything, from her relationship to Nick Lachey to being told that she needed to lose weight and taking diet pills for 20 years. She literally has not left one stone unturned.
Wow.
And she went on to say that she wished she got a prenup with Nick Lachey.
I already know where that's going. That basically means he got a large sum of money upon exiting that marriage.
Of course, because at the time when she married him, he was more famous than she was. She was just starting out in her career, but by the time they actually divorced, she was Jessica Simpson, and she was doing Dukes of Hazzard, and she was way more successful. Way more.
It's so funny to think about that because I that's going way back. They were together. How long ago was that?
Oh, my God. It was
decades, right?
In the early 2000s.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Man,
yeah.
Taking me way back.
Yeah. I know. And I think I was a little too young to realize what was going on because I was, like, still really young then. But she had gone on record in her book, and she said that she had wished she had gotten a prenup. And I thought it was so interesting that she said that in today's day and age, because the prenup topic is such a hot button topic for me and my friends that I was wondering, from a professional standpoint, first off, do you think it's a good idea to get a prenup? And secondly, if you are going to get a prenup or you're going to suggest to have one, how do you go about discussing the idea with your partner without offending them, obviously?
This is actually a really important one because different states also have different laws built into what can be expected based on the length of marriage, which sits outside of a prenup. Like California, I think there's the 50-50 rule. After a certain amount of years, I think they inherently get access to 50%. I'll have to double check those stats, but like there's also state laws based on length of time of your marriage as to what you can expect outside of all
that. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so there's some piece of that. We'll have to get like a divorce lawyer to come in and talk about that. But
can I join?
Yes. Yes. We will have you in on that night. We can dissect all
of
that.
I have so many questions.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing about something like this is there's a lot of sensitivity around it because asking for a prenup definitely implies A, that you are healthy enough and realistic enough to consider the fact that this might not be long-term. And I think that scares some people. And in one world, I'm okay with that because this idea that the person we're with now is going to be with us forever is not necessarily the most realistic when we look at divorce rates. And that's not a bad thing. We've talked about this before where, you know, sometimes we grow in different directions and sometimes we change and the chemistry and compatibility is no longer there. And although that's unfortunate and there's understandable sadness in it, I also want people to see that there's health in recognizing that that's where you're at and in choosing, I don't know, pleasure, truth, peace, happiness, and saying like, let's lovingly end this. We can still remain friends and let me move into a new romantic or sexual relationship with someone where I'm at. There shouldn't be anything wrong with that. I think we need to be a little more celebratory or hold space for the possibility that a marriage ending is actually a good thing. We shouldn't jump right in with, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. It should be more of, well, tell me if that's a good thing or a bad thing, or tell me how you feel about that. Because some people might be like, it's phenomenal. You know what I mean? I'm actually taking care of myself, moving towards what I want, getting out of something that was toxic or didn't work well. So, you know, again, prenups bring up that piece. And second, they bring up another important conversation, which is around just finances and what kind of structure do we want to set up? Is one of us going to stay home? Are both of us going to work? What kind of financial responsibility do we want to have? And I like couples having that conversation, especially if you're talking about childcare. Do both parents want to be involved in raising that child and both work a part-time job so they both have access to being a primary caregiver? I love that. Not everyone wants to be the primary income generator and out of the home anywhere from 40 to 60 hours a week. I know I wouldn't want that. I'd want to be home at least half time. So if I was married or in a relationship, I'd want us to split. I'd want us both to go down to more of a part-time if that was financially doable. So we both have the ability to be a primary caregiver and really be together for family time. So also, like I was saying, Nick, there are some states that also have different laws based on how long you're with someone. So you want to factor that in. But I think it should be a loving conversation. I don't think someone saying, let's talk about the possibility of a prenup, I don't think that should automatically be seen as an act of, you don't love me or care about me. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Let's talk about the fact that we want to both be on the same page with finance, distribution of work time, and also what our expectations are on each other if this marriage happens to not move forward long, long, long term. So again, it brings up important conversation pieces. Some individuals not open to that conversation aren't interested in signing something like that. And again, that is part of being with a human being where you're not always going to be on the same page with things. But I, as a therapist, like the conversations that come out of this, which are important ones for anyone in a committed relationship to talk about. All right, coming up next, question of the night. It's on our Loveline IG page. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, it's time for question of the night. Tonight's question is about an ex reaching out and asking you to spend Valentine's Day with them. Fill in the blanks. What would you say if that happened? First answer, all caps, exclamation point, nope. Ooh, hard no. Someone else said, hell no. Nah, you guys are getting, y'all, there's a lot of same answers I see. Someone else said, nope, I'm busy, LOL. We also got in all caps, ha ha ha, no. Then there's another good. No. Someone else said, I'd ask if they were having a stroke. I think that's among my favorite. We're assuming that something neurologically has happened that would make such a person reach out to ask us to spend V-Day with them. Yes. Someone else said, ask him how the F he found me. I didn't leave any info for a reason. Wow. I'm telling you, Valentine's Day is like a litmus test. It's a Rorschach. It really lets us know what's going on with some people relationally. Man. Someone else said if their ex reached out to see if they would spend Valentine's Day with them, I'd laugh in their face. Oh, my God. Somebody else said I'd tell them to F off and eat crap. My God. Y'all are not joking around. Somebody else said I would completely ignore them. Weird, random, and don't make sense. Somebody else said I would laugh so hard that I'd be in tears. Oh, my gosh. Someone else said not. I like that. Just not. Somebody else said I'd be surprised that they were able to contact me in the first place. There's a lot of that going on. How did you find me? How did you get my number? I'm surprised you could track me down. Man. Somebody else said I'd probably not respond. Most of my exes were extremely toxic and too much damage was done to open those doors again. You know, it breaks my heart because we don't take seriously the impact we can have on people relationally, right? Remember, we were talking about this, those that are single, when you're thinking about dating again, think about what you're bringing into someone's life, right? Because when we enter someone's life relationally, we bring our stuff in. Sometimes it's really healthy to realize you need to take a moment, work on yourself a bit because you don't want to be toxic for someone. So just know that. Think about the impact we have on others, right? I always say we want people to be left at least neutral, if not better off, because they were with us. Every time we date or have sex, we remind people that they are of worth, they are of value, that they can trust people, or we reinforce that sex is bad, scary, doesn't feel good, and that relationships can be really problematic. So try to leave people better off. Also, try to leave relationships lovingly. Try to leave when things are okay, but you're realizing the chemistry or compatibility is not there. We don't have to wait until things are horrible to leave. I would love more people to be able to be friends with their exes. I would love these answers to maybe not be such hard-line, harsh no's and nots, but more like, I'm okay, or nah, I'm good. The intensity tells me we still have so much work to do relationally, but that's what relationships are, right? It's a mirror. It's held up. It shows us what our work is, who we are in the world. And so the best part about exes is looking back and saying, who do I want to be again? And who do I not ever want to be again relationally in terms of yourself towards another, right? That's how we learn about ourselves. After you get over, you know, the pain, use it self-reflectively, right? Who were you? Who are you in relationships and what tends to get triggered? And it tells you kind of where your work is. So Valentine's Day, for those that are single, spend it doing something or take time to yourself. Those that are in a bad relationship, use it to maybe reaffirm and recommit and work on making it better. Or maybe use it as a time to realize you need to release this person. That might be the most powerful thing that can come out of Valentine's Day, is realizing I want to spend it with someone I care about, or I want to be in a relationship that makes me want to celebrate it. And if not, it might be time to release this person in this relationship and work on finding something better. So maybe use Valentine's Day as a time of deep self-reflection. You know, again, are the relationships you're in the kind you want to be in? Is it time to start dating again? Or is it time to be more celebratory about your singledom? Which again is a very acceptable, healthy place to be. And some people need to be working towards singledom as opposed to how we're always working towards relationship exclusively and romantically. Sometimes it's about going the other direction. So again, use it as a really powerful time to have that deep, hard conversation with yourself. I love those moments, powerfully reflective times and moments. So use that holiday that way. But otherwise, for those that are in a relationship, happy to be in one and celebrating it, whoop, whoop, whoop. All right, coming up next, we're going to be sliding into those DMs. And remember, the DMs come from our Loveline IG page. So if you want your DM read on air, slide into the DMs on the Loveline IG page, or also at my Dr. Donahue page, and you can hear it on air. Or, as always, you can give us a call, 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. Coming up next, though, we'll be sliding into those DMs. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. And real quick, I want to tell you, Miami Pride, if you want to go, Channel Q's got you. We will send you and a friend to beautiful Miami Beach, set you up in a gorgeous hotel, and provide you with two VIP weekend passes. We are channelq.com for your chance to win Miami Pride, and that is April 3rd through the 5th. We are channelq.com to win those passes. Who doesn't want to go to Miami? But real quick, time to go to those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sex world. We want you to explore with confidence. Hey, Dr. Chris, I've been with my partner going on 3 months. I battle with a lot of insecurities and in recovery for an eating disorder. This guy is nothing but amazing and has shown me nothing but interest and compassion. Yet my insecurities get the best of me, and I'm just waiting for something bad to happen, aka cheating, losing interest. I don't know that I'm ready to disclose my eating disorder, but should I share some of my insecurities or just work my thoughts through this? By the way, absolutely love you. Thanks. This is beautiful. I appreciate you sharing this with me. It's very vulnerable. 3 months for some feels like a long time. For others, it feels like a very new relationship. And I think it's really fair for people to earn their trust and work their way in, right? They have to trust us. We have to trust them. Trust is this thing that a relationship has to work its way towards. And I think that it's okay in the beginning to only share very topical things. And again, you have to really decide what's early relationship, what's middle, what's later relationship. But the parts of ourselves, like maybe an eating disorder, a relationship with drugs or alcohol, legal issues, financial issues, traumas, all these things that are a little more personal and private, we let people work their way in and earn their way in. We don't want to just disclose this to anyone. We also want to make sure we know that someone has the ability to be caring, compassionate with such topics, and that can take time. So it's okay to withhold that unless it directly impacts the relationship and how you're showing up. For some, this is something that they've gotten more familiar and comfortable with, and it's more of their history, and they can withhold it for a while. Others, it's really prevalent, and they need to be able to share about going to meetings or the therapy they're in or why they might react the way they react around, you know, drugs, alcohol, or food. And for those people, they share it earlier on. So in general, I'm okay with people sharing insecurities as long as you're not putting the responsibility on the partner to take care of that. Because again, it's kind of like the conversation we have around triggers. Those are for us to learn about ourselves and what our work is. It's not for us to put on our partner for them to never trigger us. Partners need to know what our triggers are, because if they want to lovingly work with us on that, that's great. But it's not their responsibility. It's not their job to not make us insecure. It's not their job to never trigger us. It's our job to know our insecurities and our triggers so we can be aware of what we need to avoid when we're in them and what the work is. So as long as you're taking responsibility for it, I'm okay with you sharing it as a way to be more known and as a way to be vulnerable, but not as a way to put responsibility on them, not as a way for them to have to feel as though they have to reassure you that they like you and that they're not cheating on you, because that is work you have to do, because it sounds like you're dating someone amazing who's worthy of the work and worthy of the trust. And so it really kind of falls on you. So take your time with disclosing anything until they've earned your trust. You know they're going to stick around. And also, like I said, make sure that you're not sharing this out of a way to make them responsible, but as a way just to be known. Slide in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sex world. We want you to explore with confidence. That's our show. Our show is podcasted at wearechannelq.com. You can go back, listen, check out old episodes, share, post. We'll be back tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As always, thanks for hanging out with me, and y'all have an awesome, awesome night.